Father, we thank you and praise you this morning for the opportunity to open up your word and to see what it has to say to us. And Father, these, as we just sang, these are old stories. We don't really need to know anything new. We just need to follow what we know. And Lord, may these truths encourage us if they need to be, if we are encouraged by them, Lord, and convicting if we need to be convicted and corrected by what is lacking in our lives. So Lord, let your spirit have its way this morning. Let not my words interfere with what you have to say. And Father, we pray that your son would have all the glory and your saints here, your church, would be built up to serve you. Pray this now in Christ's name. So about a week and a half ago, not this Thursday just passed, but the one prior, we all met at, well, not we all, but many of us met at the Foster's house. They had a party for the aunts who were in town, and we all had a great time. I had to cut my visit short because while we only live a few blocks from the Foster's now, I rode my bike over because I had that ability and kept looking at the storm that was coming closer and closer. I said, you know what? I probably stayed as long as I can stay if I want to stay dry, other than from sweat of riding the bike over. And it was a good time. And one of the things Jim asked, and I assume he asked you all this, is what's your favorite verse? And I told him, I said, it's Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And then my second favorite verse, they're equal, is Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I kind of combined, I know that more with the New King James, but I'm reading from the NIV today. I kind of mixed them up because I think I like how it says in the New King James, those who diligently seek him, those who are looking for him actively. It's not a passive thing that we seek after him. And so today I want to look at what we should all be doing. And we would all confess that we are doing that. And that is putting God first. This is a little plaque that I've shown the body before, once before at the at my mother-in-law's 50th anniversary of her serving in the Philippines. This is what her father had in his workshop, Karen's grandfather, yes, Robert Burrell, one of the four B's that Brother Doug constantly reminds us of. He had this plaque made that says, God first. Well, what does God first look like? It is that seeking him out. It is that diligently seeking him. I just in the same passage here, there's a character that we first read about in Genesis. Then we see him again in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because he had taken it. Because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Okay, because we're told back in Genesis that he walked daily with the Lord. And so that there's that intimacy, that seeking after him daily. One of the things that my wife and I have started doing recently, we just got a, and I know I've mentioned them before, we got a new puppy recently. And one thing we do at night around 8:30 every night is we go for a walk together because we want to be together, spend some time together. Now, I confess, last night I didn't go for the walk because she took him over to our dog's girlfriend's house, what we call girlfriend's house. Not it's just a female dog that he loves to play with. And they jump around and they go nuts and she knocks him down because he's little and he gets worn out, and that's great because he's a puppy and puppies have tons of energy and it's great. So, but we walk together because we want to have fellowship with one another and have a relationship. A couple of years ago, I had a friend of mine who I had not talked to in well over 20 years since Karen and I got married. So Since 1996, I have not seen him. All of a sudden, I got a phone call. Well, no, I take that back. I got a text from my brother saying, your friend Lad wants to talk to you. Here's his number. He reached out to me on Facebook. And so I talked to him. And while my heart went out to him and was glad to hear his voice, there was that lack of relationship that 20 plus years had brought. There was, while we talked, I had to drive down to Meadville, and we talked all the way from Erie to Meadville and back. And he called me one other time, but I haven't talked to him since, because without that constant relationship going, it doesn't sustain itself. Working to put someone who is important to you in a regular relationship requires effort. In the same way, it requires effort from us to put God first. One of the hymns we sang this morning, I just want to refer back to it. It was number 178. It says, verse 2, for every welcome guest waits, Lord, from thee to learn the secrets of thy Father's breast and all thy grace discern. There's only one way you're going to know how gracious the Lord is. You'll know the Lord's gracious, but you don't know how gracious he is, how merciful he is, without spending time with him, without communing with him. It isn't just reading his word to get understanding. That is how we learn these things. But you experience it by communing with him, by praying to him, by talking to him, to submitting yourself to him and walking with him. And then we just sang, I love to tell the story. And Gary, I appreciate you bringing the song. It says, in verse 4, I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Could we turn to Psalm 63? So what does your time with the Lord look like? I know in years past, my best time, and this is going to run contrary to some of what I said. When I was a father of young children, my best time to spend time and set apart a block of time just for him and just to read his word and to pray for him was after I put our three children to bed. And that was usually around 9 o'clock was when I got to steal away and go find a quiet place in the house, which usually meant I had to be quiet. But it says here in Psalm 63, oh God, you are my God. I seek you. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your hands I will lift up my hands, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you. Think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. So for those of us who earnestly want to seek after him, we have to do so every chance we get. Let's face it, many of us live busy, busy lives. Now, I've been told by one brother, you ought to retire. I'm like, well, I'm a long way away from there, from that ability to do so. And not saying that those who are retired have all the time in the world, but and aren't busy, because you can fill your time with whatever you want. But let's face it, it would be so easy for me to wake up and to just sometimes I do just want to fall right back to sleep, sit in my chair. This new pattern we've developed. I tried to keep my old pattern of getting up, going downstairs, walking my dog, and coming back home and reading God's word. Well, we have this, again, like I said, and I hate to keep bringing him up, this new dog, but he takes up so much of my morning. He jumps in my lap, and I try to read God's word and get my mind where it needs to be, because it's so easy, quick for me to think about what materials do I need to bring to a job? What do I need to accomplish today to keep this job on pace? And, just go over all those things. And I need to just be still in the morning and to think on him and to read from his word. And so I just want to do a little illustration here. I tried not to spill. Okay, very everyday things. And maybe some of you have seen this before. We all have a lot of things in common, right? Even though we're all totally different, we all still need to eat, we all need to breathe, we all need to drink, all that. And we all have 24 hours in our day, right? Nobody's different as far as that. So we have a 24-hour day, and we have so many things to do. So many things to do. We just pile of stuff to get done. And then there's the Lord. Okay. So if we're not careful, we can just get going, try to do this carefully, and we can start just doing our things that we need to do. And then, oh boy, we've got to go to work, or we have to do whatever things. Oh, and don't forget the things that we want to do that maybe we don't really need to do, but they happen anyhow. And next thing you know, we get done with all the minutes and the hours in our day, and everything has all come to a close, and we're ready to go to bed. The day's over. Oh, I didn't spend any time with the Lord. Try to fit him in. He doesn't fit. He doesn't fit when we put him in last. So this is why we need to make sure that we put him first. We need to put him first. And with that, turn to Matthew chapter 6. And I really wanted to share this with younger people, because older people, we know, we already know all the answers. And so we don't really need to listen to the speaker, right? We know it all. But young people, they still have young, moldable, impressionable minds. And hence why I have the demonstration here. And the Lord tells us, again, we have all these concerns. We have all these things that we think we need to do. And yeah, we do need to. I mean, the phone bill's got to get paid. Otherwise, you can't use your little cell phone. You got to go make money. You got to do all these things. The Lord doesn't deny that. But in verse 25, this is what he says about all this. He says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they?" Okay, let's stop there. You're more valuable than birds and grass, is one of the illustrations that Christ uses here. Okay, you're more valuable than that, because he didn't send his son to die for them. Who of you, by worrying, can add one single hour to his life? Your days are already established. Now, that doesn't mean that we should go and not take care of ourselves and not try to live as healthful lives as possible, because I would rather, while I can't add an hour to my life, I can add quality of life to it. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass, which is here today and gone tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or drink, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Okay? He knows that you've got to pay bills. He knows that you have to take care of things around the house and at work and all that stuff. But this is what we're commanded to do. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And we'll find that if we simply take that verse to heart, but seek first the kingdom of God, everything falls into place, and we have plenty of time. Accomplish all that he has in us. We can put a lid on the day. And we'll also find that he is faithful. He is faithful to us. Several times in the Psalms, David says, Lord, where are you? Why are you so far from me? It's not that the Lord moved. It's that we usually move. Now, not on purpose. We kind of drift. We're like a boat without it being moored to an anchor. And we will find that we need to maintain a relationship. Just as said, you can't have a relationship if you don't spend time with someone. The same way with the Lord. When we've sinned, we've got to go back to 1 John, where it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Okay? When we're scared about things or nervous about, Lord, how is this all going to work out? How are you going to accomplish this? And we just have to remember that, is anything too hard for the Lord? Just as Sarah laughed when she thought, what, I'm going to have a kid in my 90s? Are you kidding me? And she's just laughing. He said, whoa, has the arm of the Lord been shortened at all? Now, anything is possible for the Lord to do. It doesn't mean he'll always do it. But he is faithful. We can trust in him. We can trust in him for everything. And just as I went long last time, in over an hour, I'm not making up for it, so to speak, but that's all I have to share with you all is what the Lord shared with me in this very simple illustration and reminder of the Lord's faithfulness to us. That's a prayer. Father, we thank you. We praise you for your goodness to us. We thank you that we don't have to worry, and we tend to be worriers. We tend to be all consumed with what's going to happen. Where we got people prognosticating in the media, telling us to worry about this and worry about that. Lord, one thing is needful, and that is to be close to you, is to seek you with our whole hearts. And we'll find that if we put you first, you're faithful. And even if we don't, you are still faithful and you cannot deny yourself. We give you thanks, then, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.